There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday, and a very big program ahead of us. Lots to do on today's show, and as always, you're a big part of the show, whether through the phone line or the text line or that brand new FM Talk 106.5 app, where you can even leave us a talkback message. So you can call us, you can text us, you can leave us a message and get that played on the air. We'll remind you more about that coming up in just a little bit, where you can get a download. In just a minute here, we'll be joined by Katie Britt, running for Senate here in the state of Alabama, and a lot to talk about with the candidate in just a couple minutes. And my friend Larry Kirby, this is because usually Larry and I are on the telephone because he's there at LCM Motor Cars and I'm here at FM Talk 106.5. Works out today. My friend is in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I know I've moved up in the world by coming to the studio.
I like this. Now, the good thing is I get to see my friend. Bad thing is I got a lecture about the dirt on my truck.
Absolutely. We sold it to you sparkling new and clean and look at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the road to the barn, you know, is not paved. Right? So, I mean, my truck, until I get it washed, keeps some dirt on it. But trucks are a big part of what we talk about. But my gosh, I saw, I think it was one of the little Souls the other day, the little gas miser cars with the LCM logo on it as well. It's everything.
Kia Soul. We sell them across the board. You know, right now we got a great selection of cars. And we don't talk about cars that much, but we got a tremendous selection. We got sport cars, sedans, convertibles, you name it, gas misers especially right now.
All right. So that selection is good. And the other part of this is, I kind of had to retrain myself coming to work with y'all, is this idea of financing. It used to be you go to the credit union, you go to the bank, you secure the financing, then you come see, you know, find your vehicle. But y'all give us more options just by coming to y'all.
Absolutely. You know, we got all these credit unions out there, and right now we've got, we're moving up in the world, so we can actually just do all the DocuSign right there at the car lot. They don't have to go to their credit union, or just everything's done on the computer.
All right. So you see those tags for LCM Motor Cars. You want to see the selection yourself. Larry, how do people find y'all?
Come see us at Highway 90 and Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Please like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And I'll get the truck washed up before next time you come
Please.
Out. Okay. Very good. All right. 1209 and a lot to do on today's show. We start off, as I mentioned, with our guest this hour, running for Senate here in the state of Alabama, Katie Britt. On Midday Mobile. Thanks for being here.
Sean, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you coming on. I know there's so much we're going to talk about, but I want to kind of, with the news, if the top of the hour news was just talking about it, I was just talking about the end of Jeff's show, and I think most of us in the United States, whether we're in Alabama or elsewhere, are talking about Afghanistan and this, what seems like a pell-mell withdrawal and failure in Afghanistan. Your sense of this?
Oh, it, total failure, total lack of leadership, and yet another example of just the disaster that Joe Biden is as president of the United States. I mean, like you, I have gone through a range of emotions, or I assume you have. I mean, yep. It's been just horrific to look at the photos and watch the videos and read the reports. Knowing the way that we left, turning our back on our allies and those that we had, that had helped us, it just, the entire collapse, and the way that it was done, it makes me angry as an American citizen, to watch us portray to the rest of the world, this level of weakness and being cowards, and not standing with the people who stood with us.
Yeah, that's one of the things we've talked a lot about this week on the show, that we made a promise to people. Now, you know, out of the 80-something thousand, I don't know if they all fall in that, but you could sure get a, let's say, half of that. That we made direct promises to these people in Afghanistan that if you help us, we'll take care of you. We'll make sure that you're not going to be left in the hands of the Taliban if we leave. So when our government makes that promise to me, they're making it for me, right? So and I don't go back on my word.
Right.
So it irks me here because I think it's a reflection on we the people.
It absolutely is. And I'm sure your parents taught you like my parents did. And that's when you give somebody your word, that should mean more than anything you could ever put together with pen and paper. Period. The end. And these men and women stood with us over there. Make no mistake, whether they're guides or interpreters, I mean, they helped keep our troops safe.
Yep.
They helped put our troops in the best place possible to create hope and change and sustainability there. And keep in mind that when we leave them there, we have left them there to die.
Yep.
And if you look at the way that we did this, I mean, and Joe Biden is a total disaster. A total disaster. You leave those men and women there. You don't get them out safely. You look at even our, you know, our friends in, you know, Christian ministry and those that are there ministering and spreading the gospel. I've gotten phone calls all weekend from people that are trying to get their family members home. I mean, the first thing you do, the first thing any commander-in-chief should do is bring home those innocent civilians, those Americans that are there, get them out of harm's way. You know, you have a plan. You have a plan. There are conditions that you meet in order to withdraw. You don't turn your back and run, because when you do that, you're running. You're not just running on the current situation. You're running on a future one, too, because rest assured that all of our enemies are going to use this as propaganda to make sure that they undermine U.S. efforts at every single place across the globe.
Well, and just the you know, God forbid we're in a situation like this in the future, and I know we will be, and we got to ask for people to, you know, work with us to try to do whatever. They're going to go, wait a second, you abandoned the people in Afghanistan. Heck no, I'm not going to work with you. Heck no, I'm not going to risk my family.
Bingo. And could you blame them? And think about this. I mean, China has already, the Chinese Communist Party has already put out word to Taiwan to say, look at this. Hey, if military force is used, the Biden administration's not going to stand with you. So what does that do? That erodes their confidence. That erodes their ability to stand up and stand strong against China. I mean, and that is going to happen time and time and time again. And that's not who America is. You know, we don't turn our back on people who helped us. What it shows is that we just used them up and then we left them. And let's talk about our servicemen and women. I mean, our friends, Sean,
yep,
that gave, some of them that gave it all, and some of them that left, you know, left wounded, you know, sometimes visible, sometimes invisible, from what they saw and encountered over there in Afghanistan for two reasons. One, and most importantly, to keep our homeland safe. And for the last 20 years, you know, as we come up to September 11th, you know, we have been able to be safe because of their service. And then obviously, you know, what they meant to Afghanistan, to the people of Afghanistan, you know, what they meant to giving them hope, giving women opportunity, you know, giving Christians the opportunity to worship. I mean, it's incredible what they did, and I think it needs to be said without a doubt. This is not a failure. This is not a failure of our servicemen and women. They have done everything, and what they did was not in vain. This is a failure of bureaucrats and of Joe Biden.
Yeah, you know, and just joining us, candidate for Senate, Katie Britt, our guest, and people try to make this a binary choice. In other words, if you're upset by this, you want to stay in Afghanistan. And I don't. I'm one that have talked for years about bringing our soldiers home, bringing our fighting forces home, leaving Afghanistan. It's not the fact that we're leaving Afghanistan. It's how we're doing it. And to me, that should be the discussion here. There's people that are,
bingo,
you know, for staying in Afghanistan, and there's people for leaving Afghanistan. They're both groups are upset by what's going on right now.
Yes, and I am for coming home from Afghanistan. I want to bring our men and women home. Just want to do it the right way. And And Sean, I have been thinking, you know, over the last several days, you know, this feels so personal. And I think a lot of that has to do with this was a defining moment of our generation. You know, you mm-hmm. think back to 9/11 and how that changed our worlds. And then it was, you know, our friends that that sacrificed all and stood up and stood, you know, stepped forward to put on the uniform to protect us. And it is their stories that we have heard, and it is their lives that we see now and all they gave and things that they still continually deal with. And so for us, I think it's uniquely personal because it has come at a time in our life where we know so many people and so many of our friends gave up their youth mm-hmm. over there to keep us safe.
You know, and think about this. If you're elected senator, you'll be in the realm of making decisions like continuing foreign wars or police actions. Have we learned, you know, people talk about, have we learned the lesson? Where would you be as a senator if we see the next Afghanistan, God, wherever that is, with having a long-term...
And it may not... And listen, let's talk... And we need to talk about this kind of in two ways. First, you know, I do not believe that we can or should be the police of the world. But we have to remember with regards to this that this was an attack on our homeland, mm-hmm. obviously, September 11th. And what we're seeing now, you know, we can't forget that plot was hatched in the mountains of Afghanistan to attack innocent civilians across our nation, both in our nation's capital and in New York City. And, you know, the innocent lives that were lost that day. And, you know, how do we get a hold of that? Well, what has happened now, and particularly the way that we have pulled out and what is occurring, you know, you've seen the Taliban come in because they have no respect for Joe Biden, unlike Trump, who had a condition-based withdrawal plan, mm-hmm. who said, we're going to meet these conditions and we're going to pull out. And I think he showed incredible strength to the Taliban and said, hey, if you attack us, you know, during this withdrawal and while we're doing this, you know, you will pay the consequences. Well, you know, Joe Biden was obviously off in Martha's Vineyard or wherever it is that he was, Camp David, you know, vacationing and not showing that strength. And so those plans have to be executed so that people know that we mean what we say and we say what we mean. And so now what we have is an opportunity. The Taliban has gone in, as you read, I'm sure, you know, released all of the prisoners, you know, many of which are members of Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. We have created an opportunity for yet another country to be fueled, to be another hotbed of terrorism. The Biden administration has failed us with regards to our border. Sean, I mean, if you look at people, I mean, coming over the border day in and day out at an all-time high, last month we had 210,000 encounters at the border. So now we have created, there is a hotbed of terrorism, and we have an open border. We have an open border, and this is Joe Biden failing both overseas and at home. And unfortunately, that means that our safety will be at risk.
You wonder if it's omission or commission, right? Or even maybe different priorities than average Americans. You have this situation like you just laid out with what's happening in Afghanistan. At the same time, you have a flood of people coming across the southern border. And there, I imagine most people are coming to try to get jobs or, you know, get benefits here in the United States. But yeah, the chance is and that there are people that mean harm to our country coming in. It seems like on a foreign land and here domestically, we're not paying attention to the security of the nation.
Absolutely, we're not. And listen, you know, in order, we have to seal and secure our border. And obviously, for the safety and security of Americans, for the reason that we just discussed, for when you look at, you know, I think they're catching about 40 wanton criminals a day on the border and about 3,677 pounds of drugs. They have said what China is sending over to Mexico, Sean, and with regards to fentanyl, that has actually come across the border to kill every single American four times over. And, you know, I often say, like, if you lock your door at night, then you really shouldn't have a problem with us having a secure border. And it's not about not allowing people to come here. It's just about doing it the right way. And with that, we need to put President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy back in place, where when people come to the border, you know, obviously he had negotiated where they would remain in Mexico before they had an opportunity to then have their hearing. Obviously, Biden has totally scratched that and has put Obama's failed policies back in place of catch and release, that, you know, when they come to the border, releasing them into our country where they may or may not come back for their court date. Also, he put back in, you know, where President Trump had said, hey, if you come into our country, you will not be put on our welfare system. Obviously, Biden has flipped that script. So if you know that you get to come in, you're released, you don't, you know, you may or may not come back for your court date. You get to go on the welfare system, all of these things. What we're doing is encouraging people to come over illegally. I mean, we are a nation of laws. We are also a nation of immigrants. And so we understand that there has to be a process to come here legally, but it needs to be done right. But also, I mean, there is a humanitarian crisis occurring at our border. So I know there are a lot of people that you mentioned that are coming for you know, reasons outside of their control, but some of those are people that are being used and trafficked. I mean, men, women, and innocent children, because they know if they bring a child with them, that gives them more favorability at the border and others. And so I think we have to be vigilant as Americans to end the humanitarian crisis that's occurring, because it's encouraging that trafficking. You know, and we in Alabama, you know, I'm sure you've heard, you know, with I-10 and, I mean, not I-10, well, obviously that too, but I-65 and I-20 and kind of, you know, I-59, where all of that comes together. I mean, the men and women or women and children that are trafficked across our state is disgusting and despicable.
Yeah, when we come back for the break, I want to talk more about what you could do as Alabama senator, if elected, to bring that to an end. We continue our conversation next with Katie Britt, running for Senate here in the state of Alabama.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1226 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, a program note, I guess, a Facebook program note. Will be on Facebook. Hear that, Leanna? Make you happy. She's always saying, you need to be on Facebook more. I'll be moderating or hosting, I don't know the right term of this, the town hall, Facebook town hall tonight for candidate and mayor Sandy Stimson. You know, municipal elections coming up on Tuesday. I'll be on Facebook with them starting at 6 o'clock tonight. So check it out through their Facebook page. All right, continue our conversation with candidate for U.S. Senate here in Alabama, Katie Britt. And just want to know, though, we talk about the situation on the border. What could be done if you're elected, if you're a senator from Alabama? What can you do as a senator to change this? Or is it just all executive branch? If you don't have the executive branch, what can you do in the Senate?
Well, first, with regards to immigration, build the wall. I mean, build the wall. So that funding obviously comes through the House and the Senate, and we need to be fierce proponents of building the wall and making sure that we have a secure border. Obviously, some of these things, as you mentioned, have been done through executive order, but many of them can be done through legislation and figuring out, you know, how we can move the needle on that. And so that's something we're going to have to fight for every single day. And you've got to build the case. You know, you've got to build the case for the American public so they see, and I think that they do. I think what we've seen under the only good thing about the Biden administration is that his complete and total failure in every single thing he touches shows the American people that we need conservative principles, that is what our nation was built on, and that is what is going to return our nation to the great, you know, to continued success and prosperity in the future. And that starts, you know, with things like we're talking about right now, building the wall.
Right. I want to start this because we'll go to the news here in a second. Actually, I'm going to hold it over. So I'm going to give you a chance right now to tell folks if they want to get more information about your campaign, events coming up, ask you questions. Where do they go? Where do they find you online?
Yes, please. Well, hey, speaking of Facebook, Facebook is a great place to start. So Katie Britt for Alabama on Facebook. on both Instagram and Twitter. It's Katie Britt for AL. We would love for you to follow us, join us, talk to us. Let us know. Let us know what you're concerned about. Email us, you know, email me, Katie@KatieBrittForSenate.com, and let me know what's on your mind. I mean, that's what this campaign is about. This campaign is about listening to Alabamians across the state and figuring out how we fight in an effective way to move the needle back towards our Christian conservative principles and making sure Alabama has a seat at the table.
More with Katie Britt when we come back from the news right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Senate candidate Katie Britt. It talked a lot of foreign policy and, I guess, domestic there on the border as well. I want to talk some fiscal policy as well, because I saw the other day you signed the Taxpayer Protection Pledge. What's that all about?
Yes, that is, and I think that the timing of this is important. That is to say that as your next United States Senator, I will not vote to raise your taxes ever. And I think it is critically important for everyone to take this pledge, because I don't think we can have meaningful conversations about what we do with spending and budget deficits and balanced budget, et cetera, without making sure that raising taxes is off the table. And when we see what's happening with this infrastructure package, you know, this so-called infrastructure package, it's disgusting. I mean, obviously there is no pay for. Obviously, it looks to raise taxes in, you know, 30 different ways. But it is really a Trojan horse, both of them, really, the 1.2 and the 3.5 in particular, for just more and more socialism in this country. You know, it looks to teach people to live off the government dime, to continue to pay people to stay home. It demands within the bill, you know, a quality of outcome instead of a quality of opportunity, which I believe is fundamentally un-American. You know, and then it obviously shoves the Green New Deal down the throats of American taxpayers to the tune of costing them, if you look at some of the research, to the tune of costing American taxpayers $75,000 a piece. Well, goodness gracious, we know that families cannot afford that. And the government gets enough of our money. The federal government gets enough of our money. We don't need to send it anymore.
Also, I want to talk about election integrity, something else you've campaigned on. And this is obviously important to a lot of people. I got a lot of people who feel that the 2020 election was not legitimate that called the show. Your take on 2020, and then what can you do to give people confidence again? Because I think that is the most dangerous thing to lose, is confidence in our system. And I get texts from people saying, I'm not voting anymore. I'm not involved in this. I'm done with it. It's fixed.
Right. Oh, Sean, absolutely. You are spot on. This is the most important thing that we are dealing with, is election integrity. We have got to make sure that people have confidence in our election system. If they do not believe that their vote is counted and that this is fair and that the process is transparent, then our entire democracy will crumble. And so what we saw in the 2020 election, what we saw obviously with COVID coming out and people changing rules and Secretary of State getting outside their bounds with regards to doing things that should have been done by the legislature, and obviously just eroding the confidence of the people, that is one of the most dangerous things that can happen to our democracy. So what we have to do is stand up and fight, and particularly against H.R. 1 and S. 1, because what that was and what those are, is an attempt to federalize our election system. And I know that we believe, obviously, in states' rights. And I know that if they federalize the election system, I mean, it will be a blatant and partisan attempt to move our country over to the Democrats for generations and generations to come. And that legislation allows for ballot harvesting. It takes our good taxpayers' dollars and sends them to candidates who they don't agree with, you know, maybe don't share their values, and it essentially outlaws voter ID. And, you know, what we've seen even in the last couple of months, it's interesting, Sean, and I'd love your take on this. You know, I feel like the same people who are saying that, you know, that demanding a vote, you know, that using ID to vote is discriminatory in purpose, are the very people who want you to have a vaccine passport and show that to get into a football game or to eat at a restaurant.
Yeah, it's hypocrisy for sure. I think it is, and they don't much want to talk about that hypocrisy. Good thing to bring up. Think about this, and the people that are bothered by the election and their fears of the election. A lot of these people are, you know, they're Trump voters, right? And former President Trump's voters. So what are you doing to connect with Trump voters out there? Right? What do you do on the campaign trail? Do you have these discussions?
Yeah, listen, Trump voters, you know, a lot of people across Alabama feel left behind. You know, they see our country and they don't recognize it anymore. And they want someone to stand up and fight to preserve that country. Here's the thing. I believe in President Trump's America First agenda. And the thing that I bring to the table is not just believing in it, not just fighting for it, but being an effective fighter for these things. You know, showing them that, look, I've got the passion, I've got the energy, and I'm going to go up there and I'm going to fight to preserve the nation that we know and love. And I'm going to make sure that hardworking Alabamians have opportunity. You know, growing up in Coffee County, one of the things that my grandfather used to always tell me, I would get to go to something and I would say, oh my goodness, you know, those people are from Birmingham, or they're from this, or, oh, you know, their parents do this. And my grandfather said, Katie, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what your zip code is. It doesn't matter what their parents do or what may be in their bank account. He said, doesn't matter what is yours or what's in yours. He said, what matters is your character, your integrity, you know, the way you treat people, and your work ethic. And he said, that is going to determine, he said, we live in America, and that is going to determine your outcome. That is going to determine where your path leads. And people want people that fight to preserve that American dream. They want to know that regardless of their child or grandchild zip code, that they have someone that's going to fight for them, and that child, that opportunities are endless. And so that's what I bring to the table, is a fighter who believes in our Christian conservative values, who believes that we need to secure our border, who believes that China needs to be held accountable at every single term, and they're undermining our trade practices and undermining the American worker. You know, they want someone who's going to stand up to cancel culture and stand up to big tech and say, hey, this is real. If you can silence the president of the United States, you can silence anything. You can silence anyone. They want someone to fight for them, and that's how we're connecting with people, because they know I believe the exact same thing they do, and they look at me, and they know I'm actually going to achieve results. I am not a career politician who's going to go round and round and round and live off the government dime for 40 years and just come back and tell everybody how bad it is. At some point, if you've been in office for 40 years, some of this is your problem. And so if you can't own that and you weren't effective enough to move the needle towards things that we care about, thank you, but move on. It is time for the next generation to stand up and fight for the next generation. It is time for some new blood to go up there and shake things up. And that's what I'm going to do, and that's how we're connecting with people, and that's why people are energized about this campaign. They are sick of what they see up there. They know I believe the same things that they do, and they know that I am the right person at the right time to affect that change.
Yeah, listening to that, you go through what is the messaging here, the Trump messaging, but you've got him endorsing your opponent here in this, and you got to, I guess you're saying there's two people that can do that job, or you're saying you do that same job of the Trump message but do it better? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing.
May I ask you, are there two people that can do the job?
Right, because your opponent in this has the president's endorsement. But what you just said was, you know, exactly what the Trump plan would be.
What I am saying is my opponent is ineffective. So what I'm saying is, yes, he has been, you know, I guess an elected office. He's a career politician that's been there for 40 years. And I'm not sure how your life or my life is better as a result of his service. And so what I'm saying is I believe in the Trump agenda, and I believe in America first, and I am going to go fight for that, and I'm actually going to produce results. And so I am having to get out and meet with the people of Alabama. I am not, you know, I am not riding on anything else but who I am and what I bring to the table, and that I want to listen and I want to learn. And I know that the people on the ground know best. When people get up to D.C., they get sucked in and they start thinking that they know better than the local people, and they know better. You know, they tend to lecture us instead of listen to us. And I am going to listen. And so I'm working to get the endorsement of the people of Alabama across this great state. I have great respect for what the president did, for the president moving this country in the right direction. And that's what I want to continue to do. And that's what I plan to be a part of.
All right. Last question for you here. This one, very self-serving, because it's a question I wanted to ask. And it's maybe it's too narrow, but something I'm interested in, and that's cryptocurrency. And I know you had talked a little bit about it on your Twitter feed as well, the Toomey Amendment and with the infrastructure bill. Are kind of get your take on cryptocurrency and, you know, protecting or not protecting cryptocurrency here stateside?
Yeah, so I think we have to protect it here stateside. I mean, look at this industry. This industry has literally risen from the ground up all on its own, right? And if you look at what it means to innovation, if you look at what it means to American jobs, and you look at what the current infrastructure bill does to it, I mean, it would take these jobs, this innovation, this creativity, and move them, force them overseas. The last thing that we need to do is be forcing those kinds of things into the hands of China. We have done far too much of that, I mean, over the course of the last 20 years. I mean, an example of that, you know, would just be what we're seeing in car chips and what, you know, we actually came up with. We had that innovation here, and then we also build the equipment to make that here, and then we shipped it all overseas. And then look at what we're dealing with now. Well, if you look at cryptocurrency and what that means and the continued innovation that it breeds and the jobs and the American worker, we have to fight to keep that here. And so the way the infrastructure bill is currently written, and without the Toomey Amendment, it would force that stuff overseas. And so I'm going to fight for innovation here on our soil, and I'm going to fight for those American workers. And, you know, and that I know is unpopular with some people,
right?
But I think it's important. And that's what we're missing in government. We're missing people who fight for the American worker. We're missing people who fight for people across our state. And that's what I'm going to do.
All right. We'll do this again in the future, talk, but once again, more information on you. Where do they go online?
Yes. So please come and learn more. Katie Britt for Alabama on our Facebook. We're on Instagram and Twitter, Katie Britt for AL. I want to get to know you, and we want to earn your support. And then we want to take our Christian conservative values to D.C. and fight for those and make a difference for American workers, and in particular, those here in Alabama.
Katie Britt, thanks for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Hey, thank you for having me, Sean.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Your calls and text straight ahead. Plus, updates out of Afghanistan as well in Kabul.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. It's Midday Mobile. And by the way, get to this story. Oh, my God. This is, let's see. There it is. Thank you. And it's going to go up on our Facebook page as well. All right. 1252 FM Talk 106.5. We'll get to some of your texts here, but this story popping up at MyMBC15.com for WPMI says, no rescue trucks or ambulances available in Mobile. Coming out said, because, I mean, we heard stories earlier that they were very tight, but it says shortly after noon on Wednesday, the Mobile Fire Rescue Department issued a critical mass level zero alert, meaning there were no ambulances or rescue trucks available in the city. Mobile Fire Rescue Department spokesman Stephen Milhouse says, this is a new code instituted recently due to the rise in COVID patients. In early August, MFRD put a reserve truck into service to help meet the demand, but that was the last remaining reserve truck in the fleet. So this is, and you can get the full story on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Plus, I'll put it up on the Twitter feed as well. So you've got, that's disheartening. Disheartening for sure. Update here said out of Afghanistan, Pentagon says 2,000 people, including 325 American citizens, were evacuated from Afghanistan in 18 flights over the last 24 hours. So obviously they've got the tarmac cleared there. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. military is still working towards its goal of getting a maximum of 5,000 to 9,000 people out per day. Well, I hope they pick that up. They made a bad bed there that we're laying in. Also, another 4,500 troops will be on the ground to secure the airport. We're going to have more people. Remember, we're down to 2,500. We're going to have a force bigger than 6-7 years ago in Afghanistan to get the people out. Instead of having get the people out first, and then it's maybe there's something I'm missing. You know, maybe there's something I just don't see that the point is. But this is absolutely the most bungled and costing lives, most bungled evacuation of a country. All the comparisons made to Saigon in 75, other than the visual of Saigon in 75 and President Biden saying, well, they're not going to be anybody getting lifted off rooftops. Well, makes Saigon 75 look like it was written in the script. Saigon 75 was a lot more completed than this. Embarrassment here. All right. Some text here. A lot of people saying they like Katie Britt. Some people don't like Katie Britt. The ones that are interesting to me are the ones that have some subtlety to them. Here, let's see. Mr. Valentine said, Britt has a good message, but I'm apprehensive to support because she is so closely tied to that same old turd, I think I can say that on there, of old Alabama dynasty politics. Interesting. So this quandary, if you're in her position, Mr. Valentine, I thought about this. The benefit of your relationship with Shelby versus the negatives. And I think right now in this world, the negatives outweigh the benefits. And one thing I can say, she talked about the Toomey Amendment and, trying to help keep cryptocurrency, companies here and technology here, that's contrary to her old boss there and the current senior senator of the state of Alabama. So she is absolutely 180 opposed to what Shelby wants. Because remember, Shelby was trying to kill the Toomey Amendment. Shelby wanted to kill the cryptocurrency. But she's hardcore the 180 the other way. I heard that. Brett says, Sean asked Katie why she and Richard Shelby helped Doug Jones get elected. She didn't do it. She didn't make any votes. But the question about not supporting Roy Moore, I don't know. Brett, there are a lot of Republicans in Alabama, obviously, that didn't support Roy Moore. That's how Doug Jones got elected. G-Man says, Katie calls 4 years a career politician. It's 40 years. 40 years. She's talking about Bo Brooks, right? And Bo Brooks, 40 years up there, not four. Biden also said that in 75, we had no obligation to bring home one South Vietnamese person. What's the obligation? We made promises and we lived up to them. And they're, right here at home, the Vietnamese families, they're part of our community. They came good. We brought them home and we should bring the others home. If we made a deal, and I wasn't there on the deal making day, but if our government goes in and tell somebody who risk everything. Because, this list is out. It's not like it's just going to be tough for those people to get jobs in the new Afghanistan. It's not going to be just like they are killing them. We made promises to people. If we made direct promises to translators and other people there in Afghanistan, you live up to your promises. You get the Americans out, and then you get them out. If you said we would do this, then you're saying it for me. And I'm not okay with going back on our word. All right, Talk more about this next hour. Plus, Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation joins us shortly about maybe a story you didn't hear of bipartisan politics in Montgomery. Interesting. We'll talk with him next.